Okay, before we start, we're talking about signs and wonders tonight. Just share with the person next to you. We've done a lot of sharing already, but just what would be the craziest miracle that you want to see? What's the craziest miracle that you want to see? Anything. Just in tonight or this week, what's your, like, if you think of God must intervene in your life, what would the thing be that you want him to show you? Anything. Like, I know Jade wants to walk on water. Jesus did that. Okay, who got a crazy one? Who of you had a crazy one? Two of us.
I want to be the president at the age of 30.
Okay, that's a crazy. Okay, anyone who has a crazy? He wants to be president at the age of 30. Mindy, what's here? Okay, she says she's already working on her miracle. She feels like an angel is picking her up during worship, and she wants to hover here above. Gerard. Okay, Gerard's trusting that Luke becomes the world champion in surfing. Hey, well done, Luke. Okay. God is really into crazy ideas. He is a crazy dreamer. Everything that's impossible, it's for him, that is nothing. Okay, that slogan, Adidas, it says impossible is nothing, that's actually God's line. You know that. That's God's line. God is into making the impossible possible. So we're talking about signs and wonders tonight, because we actually in a series, we're talking about Let's Go, our Let's Go mission trips, and there are a couple of guys going out next week, going to Sri Lanka and Malawi, and then JH, you can still join JH's team, the local George taking over the world from George, taking over Pretoria and Potchefstroom from George. He is the man to speak to. And then also, if you want to speak to Diepje about his, I think, hospital ministry on a Monday at what time? 7 o'clock, please speak to him every 7 o'clock on a Monday. They go out, and I'm going to show you some just pictures on that later during my sermon. Okay, but let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us. You love us so much, God, that you even like it when we share crazy ideas with you, like Luke becoming the world surf champion, God, or Jade walking on water. Lord, you into that because you love relationship, Lord. And we want to be the vessels, the conduits of your glory, Lord. And we want to see the works of Jesus being done through us by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we know that we can't do it, but you can do it through us. And we all agree, amen. Okay. So whenever you talk about miracles or signs and wonders, there's always people that get intimidated. Because you're thinking of what Jesus did and you're like, wow, Jesus is God. How can I do the same works that Jesus did? But then you read further on and then Jesus is like, hey, you're going to do even greater works than I did. How's that for getting intimidated? That's a sermon. Hey, Jade, you're going to be a better miracle worker than Jesus. That's a sermon Jesus preached, and that's a sermon that he left us with. So it's something that Jesus wanted for us, and if Jesus desires it for us, then the whole of the universe is waiting for us to step into that inheritance. Welcome back, Eagles number 7. Then Jesus is waiting for us to step into that. So miracles and signs and wonders should be normal, everyday life stuff. Who have you agreed to that? Okay? And if you feel intimidated, it's actually a good thing. Because the intimidation should lead you to humility, which will lead you to allowing the Holy Spirit to move through you. I'm taking a team to Sri Lanka. Most of them has never preached a sermon. And I just showed them the schedule today. We're going to have 3 outreaches per day. So they're going to have to preach at least 4 or 5 times during this mission trip. Net Thomas. But they've never preached. And I remember last time when I went to Pastor Deva, because Pastor Deva is the guy in Galavela and in the middle of central province of Sri Lanka, I asked him, hey, what are you telling these people? Because we end up in these random places, in these random houses with many Buddhist and Hindu people in one room, and you need to share Jesus with them. And every time we arrive there, they are so full of faith, these Buddhist people, these Hindu people, for us to do miracles. And he said, you know what I tell them? I communicate to my people that they must invite all their friends, all their neighbors, because there's a team coming from South Africa, and they will do miracles in Jesus' name. And then they will use that to draw in people into their church. Because we preach Jesus, we show them the works of Jesus, and through that they get saved, and eventually they end up being discipled by Pastor Deva and them. And we're like, that's not the memo that we got. We only went there because we wanted to serve them, to preach the gospel, not necessarily do miracles. But that ended up happening because their faith and our faith combined is it's a powerful thing. And why, if it's so easy on that side, why is it so difficult sometimes for us on this side? Why? It's because we are lacking faith, and we're lacking the mindset of, hey God, if you can do it in Sri Lanka, you can obviously do it here, because you're the same Jesus in Sri Lanka than you are here. And I love what we're seeing with Diepia and Bernard and all these guys, and J-Aids going into the hospitals and into the street, and the miracles just starting to happen all over. I just read about John Wimber and the Vineyard Movement. Who are you know John Wimber and the Vineyard Movement? So they got a hippie guy to preach, and this guy preached a sermon that was quite well, and a few guys came forward, young people came forward, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they got delivered of demons. Lots of stuff happened. And then they went out, and I think within 3 months, they baptized 700 people. And he said a common thing back then was that you would find people in the parking lots just praying for other people. And they would get saved just by not being the church in the church, but by being the church outside of the church. So there's something that we need to move in. And I love what I'm hearing already from people in this town. Hey, we met the shofar guy and he prayed for us. Hey, we met the shofar and he prayed for healing and it actually happened. Whoa, man, thanks. Thanks for equipping the people. But there's so much more, because miracles and the supernatural should be natural to a Christian. It's really natural. Even if you are one day saved, even if you don't know God. When I was younger, I loved these supernatural stories, and I loved people talking about the Jesus that I read in the Bible. So there was this guy who came out of Satanism. He was actually used to be a ghostbuster, but in a negative way. He wasn't a Christian. So they would get him, and people would say there's ghosts in their houses, and then he would go in, and he would drive out the ghosts. And he said one day they couldn't drive out the ghosts. I don't know how they do it, but apparently there are people like that. And he went in, and he just remembered that the strongest spirit, somebody told him the strongest spirit is the spirit of Jesus. He wasn't a Christian. And he said, in the name of Jesus, go. And then something happened. He couldn't explain it, but something happened. So Jesus in you, and even an atheist or a Satanist, is powerful. Very powerful. Okay, so Jesus in his day, how he taught his people was a little different than the way that we teach people. He didn't bring people to a school where you had to wear jerseys. Not that that's wrong. There's anything wrong with that. Didn't put people in a classroom and gave them lots of information and then send them home to study and bring them back and to write an exam. The better you can write the exam, the better your marks were. No, that's not how they taught back in the day. They would call that what they would call a rabbinic culture. So he was a rabbi. The rabbi would then get, like, he got 12 disciples, and that was pretty normal for the day. So you have a rabbi and you have his disciples, and then he would teach them something. Hey, you know what? This is how you pray. Pray like this, okay? Now I'll pray in front of you, so you can see how I pray. Okay, now you pray in front of me. And then they get to a stage where he sends them out and say, okay, now you need to go and pray for other people. And then you come back, and then we can talk through this whole process. Because that's the best way to learn. A practical way of learning, of applying the truths that you're studying. And there's an example in Scripture in Luke 10. I want you to turn to Luke 10, verse 17. So Jesus, he gets 72 people together. And he's, okay, it's great, you guys are following me, and you love what I'm doing, but I'm going to send you out so that you can do my works. And he has a plan, because he's going to small little towns in the area. He's going to send them out to these areas so that they, in a way, can prepare the ground for him to come and do the works. But he's like, hey man, you are extension of me, so you can go for the healing, go for driving out demons, go for all that you've seen me doing, because I've now taught and I've showed you how to do it, now you go and do it. And then in verse 17, Luke 10 verse 17, we pick up the story. So listen to this. This is what's going to happen to the George team and the Malawi team and the local teams and the Sri Lanka team coming back. This is how they will come back. The 72 returned with joy. Why are they joyful? Hulle is gelukkig, hulle is opgewonde. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Lord, we used to be afraid of them, but now in your name, they are subject to us. In other words, they are scared of us. And then Jesus told them, hey, yeah, that was amazing. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So it's this coach sending out his team, and his team are returning, and he's like, wow, guys, were amazing. Man, what happened? Hey, Jesus, no, the demons listened to us. And then Jesus says, hey, you know what? That's actually just a sign of something greater, of a greater reality. That greater reality is that your name is written. Your names are written in heaven. And what does that mean? It means that you are a citizen of heaven. And he's like high-fiving all of them all around. He's saying, well done, well done. You've not only have you walked into the supernatural and doing all these supernatural things, now you have become heavenly. You're not living earthly anymore, but you have become heavenly. And you have realized a greater reality, and that is you are citizens of heaven. Okay, I need a few volunteers here. JH, you're always a good volunteer. You're on earth. Okay, you're on earth. Okay, no, get yourself a chair quickly. Okay, you're going to be the fallen angel. Sorry for that. Okay, then we get Armand. Okay, you must stand on the chair. Armand, you are the human being. And Ludovic, you soar like eagles, so you're on top. You go out there on the stage. Just stand on the stage. Kanye. They played the Western Province today, eh? Only lost by 5 points. It was amazing. Okay. So, here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, Armand, it's great. You are an earthly being, and you feel like you are trapped on this earth. But I'm going to show you that your name is actually written in heaven by God. So here's the logic behind this. OK, okay? Who's higher than JH? Lodewijk, okay? So, Armand, Lodewijk, help Armand to get onto the stage quickly. Okay, so is Armand higher than the fallen angel, which is the devil, by the way? So the devil's what? The devil is, JH's not the devil. Don't get confused. Okay, so God created the devil. So he's on a lower authority level than God. Do you understand that? So it's not like God and the devil. There's no fight between God and the devil. God is so much stronger than the devil. But the problem is that mankind gave authority up to the devil. So when man was over here, the demons and the devil have authority over man. But now, when they walk out and they go in the authority of Jesus, when you get born again, it's like Lodewijk pulling up Armand onto the stage. So here's the logic. Who's higher? Armand or the devil? Yes! You'll hit it! So, on Wednesday, I asked a group of people, I asked them, do you know that the devil is scared of you? Probably two of them said, yes, they know that the devil is scared of you. Only two. The truth is, the devil is scared of you. If you're a Christian, no matter your age, no matter how long ago you got saved, you are here with Armand. And JH, just turn around. Look Armand in the eye. Why are you looking up? Are you scared of him? JH is actually scared of Armand. Okay? And the Bible says, JH, book off. Op your knieën, broer. Op your stoel. Okay, Armand, sit your schoen op zijn schouder. Okay, the Bible says, Romans 16, it says that the God of peace will crush Satan under our feet. Why? Because we are lifted into a position of authority in heavenly, in the heavenly realm, with God. So the devil is afraid of us. So what Jesus was saying, he's saying, hey, it's amazing that you're doing these miracles, but there's a greater thing that you need to catch here. And the greater thing is that you are standing here with God and you're taking authority over the devil. The devil has been thrown out of heaven. And light, like lightning, he fell to earth. So this place is where we're at. Not this place, oh, we can't do anything. This place. Okay, devil. Jade, you can go back. Lord, we bless him. Any emotional healing and anything, any scars. Okay, and then in verse 21, it says, in that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and he said, I thank you, Father, Lord of earth and heaven, that you have hidden these things from the wise, understanding and revealed to them, to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. So, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but now you send out your team to go and play the rugby match. Man, I hope they're going to do this. I hope they're going to play according to the game plan. And then they come back and you see the scoreboard. It says they have won. And you're like, wow, it's amazing. But now you not only want to share with them, you want to share with your other coach. And this is what we're seeing here. Jesus turning to God. He's like, God, I didn't actually believe, but wow, it's amazing. They actually did it. They walked in authority. They're understanding their place with Jesus. And that word there, where it says that he rejoiced, it's the Greek word, it says agaliawo. Probeer daai. It's from agan, which means very, and from halumai, which means jump. And it is getting so glad one jumps in celebration. So Jesus was like, wow, that's amazing, guys, but I'm going to have this time now with God. And he turns to God and he's like, God, can't believe it. They actually did it. Wow. They're not as useless as they think they are. They actually did it. And some of you, that just blows your mind that Jesus can get excited to go actually jump. Because you feel like Jesus is just this very mellow guy. And he speaks like he's like a mellow guy. But Jesus actually gets excited when we step into that place of identity, into that place of authority. And then he says, God, I'm so glad that you hid this from the wise people. If you don't think you can do it, that actually, it means that you are a little child. It means that you are humble. It means that you don't feel that you are worthy of this. But then God's like, hey, it's exactly for you. It's exactly to you that I'm speaking. And he says, I'm so glad that you've hidden these things from the wise and revealed them to the little children. God, that's why you're so amazing. And then verse 23. And then he turns from God and he turns to the disciples and he said privately, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. He's like, and I feel like that's when I'm speaking to younger people, that's how I feel. I'm like, you guys are so blessed to experience the presence of God in such a tangible way that you are experiencing. I only had a little bit of this when I was 22, 23 years old. Now you get to experience this from a very young age. You can move with the Holy Spirit. You know how God speaks. You can move with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know how it works to walk in authority. You can go on mission trips. Armand's only 70. He only turned 17. I'm like, when I was 17, I didn't even think of going to the other town next door doing mission trips. Although, no, I actually went to Oatsurung on a mission. But I didn't think of going to a place as far as Sri Lanka. But you have that experience. And what God was, and what Jesus was getting to is that people are looking with expectation, waiting for that moment for people to take up their sonship and their authority in Jesus. Your dad and your parents and your grandfather and your grandmother and your great-grandfather are cheering you on. And they're like, hey, I didn't get to experience this, but I want you to have this. I want you to have this. Do we understand how privileged we are to walk in all this, the fullness of God? I didn't know that I could pray for healing when I was 15 years old. I heard of people that had the gift of healing and they were praying for everybody, and only when you go to them, then they get healed. I didn't know that I can do it. And God's just showing you that everybody can do it. So let's look at a few statistics. Apparently, according to John Wimber, close to 50% of all verses in the New Testament is related to a miracle. Sorry, not New Testament, that's wrong. Gospels, sorry. Close to 50% of all verses are related to a miracle. Healing is the most common. Matthew has 9%, Mark 20%, Luke 20%, and John 13%. So, who are we following? Jesus. So, now we have four books that give account of what Jesus did. And the stories that they tell about him, close to 50% of that has to do with miracles. So, if we follow Jesus and the people that wrote the story of Jesus thought it wise to put in close to 50% of stories relating to miracles, what should we pursue? Shouldn't we pursue the supernatural power of God through us? 1 Corinthians 4:14 verse 1 says, walk in love and pursue the spiritual gifts. Pursue it. Like you, some of us think it's wrong to pursue the supernatural. No, it's not wrong. If in context, if you want to glory for God, it's not wrong. It's not wrong to pursue to be a Springbok rugby player or a hockey player or the best musician ever. That's not wrong. That's not wrong. So if Jesus, the stories relating to Jesus had so many miracles in them, what is our inheritance? Because Jesus said the greater works than he did, we will do. John 10, verse 37 says the following, if I'm not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. And I want us to get to this place. You go to anybody questioning you and you're like, hey, if I do not do the works of the Father, and that's miracles, that's helping the poor, that's preaching the good news, that's all of that, but that includes a big part, close to 50%, if we take that statistic and relate it to this, to his works, it's miracles. If you don't see me doing the works of my Father, of Jesus, don't believe me. Hey, but just follow me. Follow the way that I interact with people. Follow the way that I pray for people. Follow when I go out and do this. Just follow me and watch me. Luke 7 verse 22. So John's disciples, they go to Jesus. John sends them to Jesus like, hey, just ask this guy if he's really the Messiah. Is he really the Messiah? I know what they prophesied, but I just want to know, is he really the Messiah? And then Jesus says this, go and tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. So Jesus is saying, hey, the signs that I'm the Messiah, it has to do with the poor has good news, that's one of them. But then all of the others are miracles. Like, hey, go to that church, you'll see a miracle. It's that church that we want to be. Hey, go to that church, they will pray for you, and you will be delivered of your depression. Not that you don't need to go to the doctors, but that's what we want to be. Go to that church, and we want to pray for cancer to go away. That's what we want, that to be that church. We want people to walk in here and they must be like, hey, my cancer just left. Hey, all my family problems, the relationship with my husband just got restored just by walking through the door or just meeting one of our people in the streets. That is possible. Nothing is impossible. And then there are always these people that say, oh, no, but I'm not for miracles. Or, I don't want to follow the signs, man. I want to follow God. I'm a man of love. The Bible does say that if you can do all of these things but you don't have love, you're just noise, irritating people. So love is the most important one. It's loving God and loving people. That is the most important. That's the foundation of what I'm sharing. But my question is, if your best friends little baby is suffering an illness that no doctor has a cure for, what is love in that moment? It's a miracle. If your dad is suffering from cancer and you know that God has told you that he still needs to live a lot longer, what is love in that moment? It's a miracle. If there's an unborn baby in a mother's womb and he is busy dying and the doctors cannot do anything for him, what is love in that moment? It is a miracle. When my kids, they grow up and I want to give them everything for them to have a blessed life in the natural. I want to have money to send them away to good schools. I want to have money so that they can go on sporting trips and do well in sport. I want to send them away to university and with the money that I have so that they can do well. That's the heart of the Father. But the biggest thing that I want to give them is I want to give them the heavenly resources to fulfill the God's calling on their life, more than those things. And one of the things is to allow them to experience God's supernatural power, not only through my hands, but through their hands. Kunal and I, we got a word from somebody, and he said, hey, your kids are not going to go into Christian schools. Your kids are going to be like missionaries among the other schools. So we're not sending our kids to the school so that they can be influenced. We are sending them to this school so that they can be the influence. That's, I know I don't have teenagers yet. But that is my heart. And I want to give them everything possible. I think it's selfish if you don't want to walk in miracles. Because if you ever experience that call from a friend, or that call from your dad, or a call from an aunt or a cousin, we need a miracle. We're busy praying for my brother's mother-in-law that she needs to get healed from cancer. She needs healing seriously. I think it's selfish if you feel that you don't want that. It's the same with people say, yo, I just need enough to maybe have a good life on earth, money-wise, financial-wise. I think also that's selfish. Because if people come to you and they're poor and they're in desperate need and they're really serving God and you can see they have character, you want to give them that 100,000 rand check right there and say, start your business. You want to do that. We want to have abundance. Jesus said, I didn't die. Or I died so that you can have a life. And a life in abundance. And I loved what Henry led us in. Is singing, God, fill us so that we will overflow into the people around us. And it's the same with miracles. It's the same with love. It's the same with emotional capacity to build friendships. It's all of that's the same. And I feel like God's doing it amongst us already. You guys are a crazy bunch. Look at these photos. Just go into their last photo. Okay, this is Diapia. Diapia, just raise your hand there. And Badlands actually taking it's a video through a video camera. Okay, this is in the state hospital, in the provincial hospital. And this guy is a Jehovah's Witness. He got saved. And then, hey, Diapia, maybe just take us through this. Take the mic. Because we're actually live streaming, by the way. We're testing something. It's on Facebook. So you're going to be on Facebook.
Basically, what happened, we didn't plan for it to happen, but we went in. We asked the guy, can we pray for him for healing? And then Corinne started talking about, is he saved? And he said no. And we spoke, and he said he's a Jehovah's Witness. And we spoke to him that he has to believe the Bible and the Jesus of the Bible. You cannot believe in the other Jesus. And actually, the guy, it was like a God appointment. Like, everything is in his life happened in a way that he would be open in this moment. Because actually, he had like two wives before, and they kicked him out of the Jehovah's Witness church. And I think that opened his heart. So we can preach the gospel to him. And yeah, then we said to him, do we want to have a relationship with Jesus? And we talked to him about repentance, and he repented of his sins. And yeah, he just followed us in a prayer, repenting. And yeah, then we said now he has to get baptized, because that is how you express your faith. And Corinne said, no, we can baptize him in the hospital. And she went and talked to the nurses and arranged a bath and towels and everything. And then the bath was just the right size. And we baptized him there. And we also prayed for him afterwards to experience the Holy Spirit's presence. And yeah, he's just said he felt like all the tension in his body went. So we are grateful for that.
Okay, that's that just, well, if you've heard of that, and somebody getting baptized in a bathtub in a hospital, okay? So we actually, there's a couple of doctors that's in the church. They said it's fine, just so you know. I'm going to show another video. Okay, just to give you background on this lady, we were at the Neisner Distribution Center hub thing was over here, and then some of you might have seen this video. So one night I walked out of here and there was another lady. She got that Sunday night, she got healed of knee pain. Then I walked out of here and I saw a guy that's a student. And I remember he was healed from a knee pain. And then he said, "Hey, this is my mom, Rezma." And I'm like, "Hey, hello, Rezma, how are you doing?" I say, "Hey, you know, your son got healed in one of our services." And I'm like, "Hey, is it still here?" "Yes." He's like, "Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. My knee is still perfect." And she's like, "Oh, I have knee pain." So, this is a story. Great. So, Liefdeven. She's a nurse, and then I spoke to her the following day, because it's always important if you pray for somebody, sometimes they feel the Holy Spirit, and they so want God to heal them, that they will just say that they're healed. So, she followed up the next day, she said she didn't take any pain pills that evening, because apparently a patella broke, and they didn't grow back together, and she had pain and stuff. So, that's amazing. There's so many other stories. In 2014, there was a lady here with us in church. See, for 10 years, she had neck spasms that will literally, it will attack her almost. And then she shared the story with us. She went to every specialist that you could think of. In the end, a medical fund wouldn't be able to, would be exhausted, is that the word, before March. And then we had a meeting where we said, okay, God can move in the supernatural. And she came forward and we prayed for her. But the first time, nothing happened. And then the second time, we prayed for her. She said, it felt like a blanket, a warm blanket covering her neck. And then she got healed right there from 10 years of pain. She got a baby after that. She didn't experience, because that baby is obviously very stressful in the back, carrying the baby. She didn't feel any pain during that period. And then just quickly share your testimony of in a minute.
Okay. I had fibromyalgia for almost 2 years, which is a neurotransmitter imbalance, and all the pain receptors are constantly stimulated. So every morning, every day, standing full of pain. And also, my medical aid wouldn't cover things anymore, and I was at every specialist and every form of medication, and it wouldn't work. And yeah, then after worship, we had prayed for it over and over and over again. And after worship one evening, a guy I'd never met came up to me. God had given him the word he couldn't pronounce, which was fibromyalgia. He spelled it out for me. And they prayed for me. And that evening, I just felt lighter, but still pain. And the next morning, I just knew I was healed. And the next morning, I woke up with no pain. And I haven't had pain since then. And that was the 26th of March.
Amen. Great. Okay, so we're going to trust God. Who of you are keen on doing the works of Jesus? Okay? Even I feel like I'm sensing some of you are sitting here and you feel like you're full of sin and God cannot use you. That's a lie, by the way. God can use anyone. Okay? He can use anyone. Okay, so we're going to call people to the front that's struggling with stuff. Okay, you're fine with that. Okay. Jade, so you're struggling with insecurities after that thing. Okay, Jason. Okay, if you had been in an accident and you are suffering from any kind of pain, like you have been in an accident maybe 5 years ago, maybe a year ago, and because of that accident you are suffering pain. So it's logical for me to think that wasn't God's plan for your life. So obviously God wants to heal, and He always brings healing to the full. So if you have an accident, can you just raise your hand? You've been in an accident, and you're still suffering pain of that. Now is your time to get healing. No one like that. No one been in an accident in this and suffered anything. That's a good thing. Are you healed? Okay, that's great. Okay. Are you completely healed? Yeah, well, that's fine. Okay. God is too. There's no people to pray for. Okay. If you are using chronic medicine, so you need to use certain medication because you. We're not going to tell you to leave the medication, but we're going to pray for you. I want you to come and stand on that side over there. If you're using chronic medicine, in other words, every day you need to take a certain pill or there's something that's hindering you from not taking you have to take medication. Okay, if that's you, anyone like that, you're taking, just lift your, okay, great. Leon, kom vorentoe, almal gaan die onderwyser volg, great. Okay, anyone else? We're not going to expose you. We're not going to ask you for what it is. Okay, great. Even heartburn, yeah. If you're suffering from, and you need to constantly take medication for that, you can come over here. Okay? Okay, if you have screws or plates or anything in your body, is there anyone like that? Okay. Can you come to over here? You're not screwed up in your head. You just. Okay, and then, is there any one of you get like it's like. Headaches or migraines that keep on coming back. Okay. Who of you experiencing a headache right now? Is there anyone like that? Okay. Great. Cool. Can I get the worship band up? Is there anyone? Okay, just close your eyes. Let's do it quickly. If you get a word of knowledge for a specific pain, then we're just going to go for that too. Okay, those are the things that I got. So thank you, Jesus, that you speak to all of us. Lord, we ask for a very specific word of knowledge with regards to healing. Anyone got anything?
Someone with back, like in the shoulder blade.
Shoulder blade, back pain. Okay. Okay, but let's see. Back pain. Anyone? Are you still have back pain? Do you have back pain now? Okay, just a little bit. Okay, great. You can.